Nyawe Skanokagwego, I'm thankful you're well. You're listening to Gino. If this is your first time tuning in, Gino is the Seneca word for music or song. I'm your host, Brett Mabee. Each week we take a listen to some amazing music from different indigenous artists from all over Turtle Island. So for the next hour, you're invited to enjoy the music and the chat. Nengewanisa de tenchaknya tai ne hayentwa sayaso. Hotayo ni ko ne ho ne gayogwe ono nito neno. I'm excited to welcome Gary Farmer, Wolf Clan of the Cayuga Nation, to Gino today. You might recognize him from such esteemed films as Powwow Highway, Dead Man, Smoke Signals, Reservation Dogs. You name it, he's out there. Today we're going to be chatting about his tunes with the Troublemakers. We're going to be featuring the album Fool for Love, and coming at you from that album is Cadillacs Don't Care, today on Gino.
Baby, it don't matter where you've been. We got each other. That's all we need to believe in. Love and compassion. Shift the fate, sway. Roll with the punches. Gotta get away. Can't stop that storm from coming.
Cadillacs Don't Care from Gary Farmer's 2022 Fool for Love. As we get into our listening on today's episode of Gino, it's with great pleasure and a great honor that I get to welcome today's featured guest to the show. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a number of years now, and here we are. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Gary Farmer, how are you doing today? Nyawe Skano.
Skano's for Grey Good. They got so high ends, but when you sure what they now it goes quite east, so and the sun's shining here a little bit in the west coast. Nice to be with you, Brett. Yeah, I'm here in Vancouver working on the third season of Resident Alien. Just finished episode 2 yesterday for me. They'll be working on that episode for a few more days, but it's nice to be with you.
Well, I want to talk about Resident Alien. Of course, we can maybe squeeze in reservation dogs before our time is up. But I feel like you're a man of many talents, but one that I feel unfortunately gets overlooked or maybe not talked about as much as your music. So we got to get down and start talking about the jams here as well today. Before going any further, though, not that I think you need any introduction, I was wondering if you could tell listeners out there just a little bit about yourself.
I'm originally from Six Nations, born in Oswegan, Ontario, back in the 50s. Grew up in Niagara Falls and Buffalo, where a lot of our men were working in the construction business. My father was a crane operator, hoisting steel for everyone back when they used to hoist steel. And, I grew up around Niagara Falls. That was a big impact because it looked like a bomb had hit it, if you go there today. Mm. But I was there during that industrial age of the chemical pollution and Love Canal, and my family was deep in, and I survived that and managed to work my way back to Canada eventually, and living on the res and based out of Toronto for years. And that's where my theatrical career started, as basically a theater actor, and then matured into film and TV.
It's my understanding that theater is still your favorite medium, after having dipped your toe in a lot of different things, yeah?
Yeah, there's still truth can be told in the theater. Everything else is, less censored, I suppose, on consumer television today. It's probably the best era for television making at this time. I think there was almost 600 scripted series last year, which is pretty phenomenal. But the impact of COVID had on the entertainment industry is that we got to beef it up to keep everybody entertained while they're locked in their homes. But that's kind of coming back down to reality now. There's a lot of cuts and tightening of budgets now after that extreme season of 600 scripted series. That's pretty phenomenal.
Whew. It's hard to kind of wrap my head around. And before we get back into our listening, let's take just a quick moment to talk about your musical background as well, because it seems to me that this might be a little bit of a way for you to find respite, I guess, from your everyday kind of work, huh?
Well, I've done so much things creatively in my life. The music came about when after I opened a art gallery in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I always played music, but I never had my own band, and that's how I came to Santa Fe. Was I got a music gig, and I was mainly hanging around Southern California at the time, and I used to get lonely for the res, and I used to go out to Southern California res, up on the mountain near Palomar Telescope. And there was a community in there that I got really close to, a community that, had a wonderful performance artist who is now deceased, James Luna, which is kind of what Fool for Love is about. It's kind of about James. James was a performance artist, very successful. He also taught college to young students and was counselor to many, many youth in Southern California. A wonderful guy. And my first band, the Troublemakers, came rooted from this community there. And we had a gig in Santa Fe, and we traveled to Santa Fe. We picked up another guitar player on the way. And when we got to Santa Fe, I never left. They all came back to Southern California, and I stayed and formulated another band there over the course of time. And I've continued that ever since. So that was probably back around the turn of the century, probably around 2003 or 4. So I've had my organized, Troublemakers band together since then, and there's been at least 30 different players come and go through the years. But it's been a wonderful experiment.
You've played with some phenomenal musicians throughout the years, and you can tell you're having a lot of fun with the Troublemakers. I mean, as I often do here on Gyno, I like to ask my guests for some artist recommendations, but even just in our pre-chat, I mean, Derek Miller and Sherry Maracle, Murray Porter, we're all going to be adding into today's listening, just because I know you've collaborated or will be collaborating with all of them here in the near future as well. So, Gary, let's get back into our listening right now. From Fool for Love, we're going to be checking out a couple more tracks, including Nobody's Reclamation. But first, in this block, we're going to have the great good fortune of listening to Murray Porter's 1492, Who Found Who, but not until we've heard this one. Asaranonda Jates, you ought to sing along with this one. It's Need a Gun from Fool for Love today on Gyno.
I need a gun to go to school. I need a gun to have love for you. I need a gun to kill the beast. I need a gun to make my peace. Now you lost all control. I need a gun to hold this rope. I need a gun, I'll use this bow. I need a gun, I'll use a knife to cut you deep and end your life.
And I'm wondering when you're coming home. While I'm counting my regrets, I'm gonna smoke 100 cigarettes.
And you are rocking out to Gyno with Brett Mabee.
Assume it, oh my, yeah. And 14
Murray Porter's 1492. Just who found who today on Gyno. If you're just now tuning in, welcome back to the conversation. I'm joined on the line with legendary actor, musician, theater performer Gary Farmer. We're talking about his musical background and his theatrical background, his artistic background for that matter, in the first block. But as we do switch gears here a little bit, I want to talk about Fool for Love. Gary, you were mentioning the turn of the century, and I had to think for a second. I was like, geez, you know, when you put it that way, it really sounds like a long time ago, but it kind of is. What are your thoughts as you look back on this musical journey you've been on?
Yeah, when I first left home to go to college, I was in Buffalo over in Riverside, and I got accepted into a small community college just over in Batavia. And one of the things I took with me, which is something I picked up as a teenager, was a harmonica. And it was my friend for years of going to university and living that life between 18 and your 20s and coming into the world. You know, like most young people, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do. I grew up in a kind of gang-styled environment in the west side of Buffalo, and, you know, most of our gang members became cops. We went from the illegitimate gang to the legitimate gang, and that was my path to start. But then Attica broke out. I saw how corrupt everything really is, and then I turned to the one passion I picked up in high school, which was photography. And I carried forward with that and went to Syracuse University for a year, which was really phenomenal. And there, the amount of students that came from around the globe, it seemed, and the passion that they seemed to have for music and music history and stuff, that one year at Syracuse really had an impact because I lived in the dorm, and a lot of my, you know, people living in the dorm are really passionate about music, and we always had some great acts come through the university over the course of my one year there. But from there, by that time I had finished that, my parents moved back to the res and picked up on a general store. And so that's what took me back to Six Nations and to Canada. And the rest is history, because, you know, I'm not sure how far I would have got in the arts in the States at the time. But when I went back to Canada, it was like the world just popped open for me. It was all these possibilities. And one possibility was this older Cree man named James Buller. He was an opera singer back in the day, and he started this organization called the Association for Native Development in the Performing and Visual Arts. And I was one of the first subjects of that effort, along with, you know, Thompson Highway, Renee Highway, a number of others. So that was the beginning, and I've never looked back. My career in the arts has been very diverse, and I like to keep it that way. I'm just embarking on writing my first book, so that's an opportunity that I've been waiting for, and something I want to tell, you know, all the youth my story, so that they got something to grasp on this contemporary journey that they'll be making through life.
I think it's incredibly important that people can read your story, because I think you're absolutely right. It is something to grasp onto, and people will feel inspired knowing that it is possible. And let's face it, you know, you've seen a lot of changes in the entertainment industry over the last 30, 40 years now. But, I mean, there's still a long way to go as far as getting Indigenous representation out there, yeah.
Oh, for sure, always. But it's never been at the height it is right now with the amount of creatives creating content. You know, I've been involved with the Santa Fe International Film Festival. What helped to start it 15 years ago. We're in our 15th year, and you know, I'm, you know, personally pursue Native content and Native creatives to submit content to the festival. So, you know, it's an ongoing process. It's something I'll never give up on, trying to make sure that there's a lot of Native people behind me doing very much the same as I've done in my career, expressing themselves.
I think that's what I appreciate the most, Gary. Some people will get in and then they'll close the door behind them, but you're doing what I would hope that most industry professionals would do, and that is opening the door for the generation coming up behind. So I can't thank you enough for that as well. In regards to Fool for Love, how do you feel this album differs from your previous body of work?
Just my collaboration with Derek. He's surprisingly came on tour with me a number of years ago, and we've been touring off and on for, you know, probably 7-8 years now. And we collaborated on a number of songs. That material actually was originally recorded in 2018. It took me this long to bring it to fruition. You know, situations change. Stuff changes, economy changes.
It takes time to bring work.
I just released another album, not of my own, but of Brock Stonefish's, because he came on tour with me as well back in mid-2015 or so. And I think we recorded actually in 14. So it took us like 8 years to get that material to, again, you can find that, Brock Stonefish. I put it out there. It's called Turtle Island, 6 new tracks. I play harmonica on 2 or 3 of the tracks. There was this one song of Brock's. It's called Residential Redemption. I couldn't, you know, he wanted me to play some harp on it, and I just couldn't find what I wanted from it to make it work. And I thought, you know, I don't think it's a harp. I think it's a horn. And there was this amazing jazz player down in Farmington region, Navajo fella, Dene. His name's Delbert Anderson. And he's making quite an impact right now. He just won a big grant for, you know, to be able to tour. And so I gave the track to Delbert, and he recorded it in his home studio there around Farmington. And I just can't get over it. It's a pretty sad song in a way, but Delbert just brought it to life to help translate that message with beauty. And I love producing music as well. And I got my own label. I'm just establishing a publishing company called Gonzo Drive Music, and I'm going to continue to create music, not only my own, but other Native artists that are around me.
We have a little bit more time to get caught up before our time is through today. For listeners out there, if you're just now joining, you're listening to Gyno. I'm your host, Brett Mabee, and I'm joined on the line with legendary actor and musician Gary Farmer. Today we're listening to tracks from his 2022 Fool for Love. As we get back into this next song, Gary, I was wondering if you could help to introduce Nobody's Reclamation. Now, that might ring a bell for some people out there. Fill us in a little bit.
Well, in the film Dead Man, which was, I think it came out in 1995, we won the a European Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. It's still the only American film ever to get acknowledged for that, which I was always impressed with that award. It was a great film. It should have been distributed. Robert Mitchum's last movie. It should have been distributed widely in America, but it got canned by the distributor at the time, a very notorious man. I can't think of his name. He's in jail for sexual abuse now, Harvey Weinstein. But luckily, it's had a life underground. It's in the Criterion Collection, which is an exclusive collection out of New York City, and gets distributed and widely seen still. But that was an amazing film to me. It was a kind of an acid Western that looked at the settling of the West from more of a Native perspective than you would see in John Wayne films and such. So it was a real barn burner for me. It was an important film. It's probably one of my most important films. And I had a wonderful time making it back when you'd spend 3 or 4 months making a movie, hanging with Johnny Depp and the likes and all the amazing cast that we had, including Iggy Pop and And, you know, there were so many cast members. It was astounding. It was just a great time. And from that, Neil Young was enlisted to do the soundtrack. And after we shot the film, Neil and Johnny Depp went off and recorded this recording of Neil's guitar and Johnny reading William Blake poetry. But if you've seen the film, you see that I'm the passionate one for William Blake's poetry because he's the only one that made sense to this young native boy over in England when he was captured and taken there, because he believed that trees were the same as humans, you know. So he had a ideology that was similar to our own, being a non-native fella. And it was the only one that made sense to me as a child being educated over there. And so, that whole film kind of related to my experience, you know, being kind of ripped from my community, even if it was only 60 miles and put into public education in Niagara Falls, New York, and Buffalo, you know. But anyway, I was related to that character. And when it came time to make this album, I thought, well, I'm going to find a poem I just love of Williams, and Derek's going to play guitar on it. And we're going to take our love for William Blake back from Neil Young and Johnny Depp. So it's simply a play of fun. Neil's still a good friend. I haven't heard from Johnny since we made the film, but he's had his own travels and up and downs. But still a wonderful guy. I respect them both and appreciate them both as artists in their own right.
The sun descending in the west, the evening star does shine. The birds are silent in their nest, and I must seek for mine. The moon, like a flower, in heaven's high bower, with silent delight, sits and smiles on the night. Farewell, green fields and happy groves, where flocks have took delight, where lambs have nibbled, silent moves the feet of angels bright. Unseen they pour blessing and joy without ceasing on each bud and blossom and each sleeping bosom. They look in every thoughtless nest, where birds are covered warm. They visit caves of every beast to keep them all from harm. If they see any weeping that should have been sleeping, they pour sleep on their head and sit down by their bed. When wolves and tigers howl for prey, they pitying stand and weep, seeking to drive their thirst away and keep them from the sheep. But if they rush dreadful, the angels, most heedful, receive each mild spirit, new worlds to inherit. And there the lion's ruddy eyes shall flow with tears of gold, and pitying the tender cries, and walking round the fold, saying, wrath by his meekness, and by his health, sickness is driven away from our immortal day. And now beside thee, bleeding lamb, I can lie down and sleep, or think on him who bore thy name, graze after thee and weep. For, washed in life's river, my bright mane forever shall shine like the gold as I guard o'er the fold.